are having it on this Sunday, and you're having lots of activities, and we're going to talk about Mr. Trahan's very special part in that in just a moment. But Julie, maybe we can start off talking about this day and what you all are hoping to do on this day. And I know it's also in honor of someone very special.
Yes. Well, what we do with our Culture Day series, we have three every year. This is our second Acadian Culture Day. It represents the three cultures of our area that we celebrate, the Creoles, Acadians, and the Native Americans. And what our main goal for this is for the community to come out, see what Vermilionville is all about, see where our identity and our traditions come from, and for everybody to learn something that they didn't know about one of the cultures that we celebrate.
So it's free to everyone. I know people really like that.
It's one of our free admission days, so it's a great day to bring the family by. We have lots of activities going on, crafts and games, bands, cooking demonstrations. It's just a good day to come and see what Vermilionville is all about.
And for so many people, I'm sure, on this day to come and learn more about their heritage. You all do that, of course, throughout the year at Vermilionville, but you're really focusing on the Acadians on this day. And you all have lots of talent at Vermilionville and so many resources and knowledge there that you bring forward during this day.
Yes, we jam-pack our village full of artisans doing the traditional demonstrations and the way of life and reinforcing how they lived off of the land and how they made do with what they had. One of the good things in the afternoon, Acadian Memorial comes out and they do a genealogy station. So if you're curious about some of their programs and learning more about your family's direct lineage, then you can meet with them as well that afternoon and make some contacts and figure out how to learn more about your specific family heritage.
Well, I know that's going to interest a lot of people. So what time does it start on Sunday morning?
10 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll have lots of things going on all day, so please come by whenever you have a free time.
Okay, well, we're going to talk right now about one of the more delectable things happening that day. With us in the studio is Mr. Lubert Trahan, who has a specialty that is a wonderful thing for anyone to do. But as you said, generally women make these. You are a baker, and you bake tarts. Traditional
well, I
tarts.
Guess I'm a hobbyist baker. I'm not a professional. Like I said before, anybody who loves to eat can learn how to cook or do what happens to be done, you know, to survive.
Well, that's a wonderful attitude.
And I just like to do it. My biggest, not exactly gripe, but when you see all these chefs on TV, when they threw the leave and you have a crew coming in cleaning the kitchen, when you do it yourself,
There's
you
no
gotta do it all.
Well, let's talk a bit about your background before we get to how you started making tarts and about some of your expertise. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Maurice. My father was in business. He had a general merchandise store, sold everything from N&W overalls, Wolverine shoes, feeds, seeds, fertilizers, posts, barbed wire, et cetera, et cetera. And the people of the neighborhood, it was the barter system allowed. The ladies would grow vegetables, or they'd raise chickens or ducks or geese and bring the eggs and trade for the sugar or the salt or whatever they didn't have at home. And then some of the businesses here in town, like Mr. Abert, had an Agalan Inn, would get his chickens and his eggs for his restaurant and other people in town, and that kept the business going, and it was just a way of life in the 30s and the early 40s, et cetera.
It seems like such a good system.
Yes.
And, you know, I think there are a lot of young people in this area who kind of look back towards that and think, wouldn't that be really nice if we could be growing things and exchanging what we make? And,
well, when I sold my accounting practice in 94, I was started looking at four walls of an office. So I went into organic gardening. And that's the reason I started doing tarts, because I raised the blackberries, I raised the figs, and I raised all of that that I use in making my old-fashioned Cajun tarts.
Well, was that something that you saw your mother or your grandmother doing, baking tarts?
Yes, yes. But at the time, the recipes they were using weren't exactly to my liking, so I tweaked them to the point where, at the time, they had to have them where they were not crumbly, but I like them a little bit softer than that old crispy, almost like cracker dough. You know,
so I guess that was even more easy to transport back
then.
That's
right.
It wouldn't break apart as easily.
They didn't have a bunch of just pieces when they were getting in the mid-morning.
Well, and you were describing just a little while ago one of the reasons it was so important to have strong tarts, those half-moon tarts.
Well, the economy of the time in the 30s and the 20s, the landowners had sharecropper tenants, and there was horse, mules, implements, and the whole family worked. A lot of the children had to work for 1 or 2 hours before going to school in the morning, and then the rest of the family kept on working. Well, around 10 o'clock, they were getting kind of hungry, so they had to have a snack. Well, they might have been long ways from the home, so they had to bring something in the field to be able to have a little snack in the mid-morning, and that's where the tarts came in. They had to have something which would not spoil. And so they had, the man usually had a little flask in his hip pocket with cold coffee, sugar, and cream, everything together, and a little nip once in a while. But then when they had the break, they had the tarts and usually water.
So the tarts were of a much stiffer dough
than much stiffer dough today. Oh, yes.
And what kinds of fillings did your mother, your grandmother, when they prepared these, what did they fill the tarts with? The same thing that you do now?
Well, mostly figs. Figs or custard with a little bit of whatever else they could add to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that something they called bouillie, the custard bouillie?
Yeah, tarte bouillie. That's the custard.
And that was a very simple, you didn't have to have many ingredients to do that one.
Very simple ingredients, yeah. Right. Something it would keep, it wouldn't spoil. Mm-hmm. You didn't want something that went, started having a bad taste.
Well, were there other fruits that got used, seasonal fruits? Because I know people would make fig preserves so they could have those throughout
the
year.
Yeah, well, I do a lot of preserving. I do a lot of figs. I have a pretty good row of blueberries, which is very not indigenous to this area, but if you follow the rules, you can do them. And then I grow blackberries, and from the late Dr. Tommy Mayers, which I went by his home this morning, it broke my heart. It's been bulldozed over everything.
They're such beautiful plants.
Yeah. So I grow some thornless blackberries, and I have a unit that takes the seeds out. So when I do tarts, I do seedless blackberry tart. So people with the dentures doesn't have to worry about having.
You think of everything. Well, and that certainly is much nicer. Thornless blackberries. I'm sure everyone remembers as a child trying to pick those wild dewberries and blackberries.
That's right.
Did your mother ever make tarts from the wild berries?
Yes, she did. Mm-hmm. But the process of removing the seed was to cooking them and squeezing them through a cheesecloth, and it was an all-day affair to get just a small amount, where in my case, in a half hour, I can get 4 gallons of blackberry pulp, seedless.
Your mother would envy that. Well, now, I know some people make tarts out of sweet potato now. Was that ever done when you were a child?
I've never made it with sweet potato, but I've tasted them. It wasn't, I guess, to my complete liking, so I just, didn't, But I remember one of the Catholic churches, the auxiliary, would make tarts for their bazaar, and some of them had the sweet potato tarts, and some of them had pumpkin tarts, but then they added some other spices, which really you didn't taste the meat of the tart.
Right. Now, was that recently or back?
Way back.
Yeah. 'Cause I always find it interesting to ask people what they remember as treats a long time ago. My grandmother once told me that her mother would always grow a row of les bénis, sesame seeds, and that instead of putting pecans in their pralines, they used the sesame seeds because it was cheaper and you sold your pecans. And so for the children, my great-grandmother would make the pralines out of sesame.
One time that I remember most, my mother was making some sesame seed praline in a corn husk, and she ground the roasted seeds, and I took a bite of it. I never choked so much in my life. That thing went into my throat and stayed stuck, and I just couldn't breathe. So sesame, I don't know.
You do remember that as a child.
Oh, definitely.
And you see, a lot of people I talked to had never heard of that. They stopped using
it
after a
while. You know what the name of the sesame in the French vernacular?
Le beignet.
Le beignet.
That's my grandmother would say that.
Le praline au beignet.
Mm-hmm. But I think that got lost for a long time, maybe because pecans became more plentiful,
right,
or people got more, they could pay for them, didn't have to use it as a cash crop.
Correct.
So it's interesting to hear back what you remember as a child,
yes,
that y'all had for treats or sweets.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you remember any other ingredients that your mother might have used in baking?
Well, mostly she'd do this with figs.
The figs. That was so plentiful here,
yeah,
obviously. Yeah.
Now, I have a little bit different take on the figs. Uh-huh. Being I grow blueberries, uh-huh, I make a fig preserve. I put 1 quart of processed through the blender, mm-hmm, of blueberries for every gallon of figs. Then you wind up with a combination blueberry, fig, and it's a very – there's more substance in it to,
mm-hmm,
make it gel better,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, you know, the more you're talking about this, the more you sound professional and not a hobbyist.
Well,
you obviously thought a lot about the crust, the ingredients, and you really make it to your satisfaction.
Well, one of the times that I was in Nova Scotia several years ago, I picked up a cookbook from the earlier Cajuns.
Mm-hmm.
They even had a recipe for couscous, which is one of the things that you've never seen in a cookbook.
Everyone just knows how to make it, huh?
And in Maine, you see, they've got the Maine wild blueberries. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm, I started to say, hey, why not?
Putting them together.
Yeah.
I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, my guests are Jolie Johnson from Vermilionville and Mr. Lubert Traha, who will be doing some baking demonstrations at Vermilionville this Sunday. It is the National Day of the Acadians next week, and they are celebrating their Free Culture Day this Sunday in celebration of the Acadians. So about how many tarts do you make a year?
Oh, gosh. One of our projects, you know, the good book says you mustn't brag of what you do, you know. I like to make tarts for the nursing home people.
Oh.
Most of the elderly people, they had tarts. That was a way of life. And so you bring them a few tarts and they just lighten up, you know. And then for myself, too.
Mm-hmm. So it's a nostalgic pleasure for them to taste that.
That's right.
What a lovely thing to
do. But like for last year when we did this, I remember I had made 100 tarts.
For the Acadian Day.
Yeah, mm-hmm, and I had cut them in half. And I think, well, we had 443 people show up.
No more tarts left over.
So we had to cut them again. So this year I'm getting a little bit more ready.
Make more, because those people are going to come back this year expecting that. So you're going to make any of those blueberry fig ones for the...
Both.
Yeah. Now, you make your own fig preserves?
Oh, yes.
Yes, you have fig trees in your yard.
Big old black kettle on a, mm-hmm, big burner and just cook them in.
Well, you know, there's a deep divide between people who make fig preserves. You know, there's the ones who leave them whole and the ones who mash them up. I would think to make tarts, you would have to mash them.
I mash them.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you mix anything else aside from blueberries with your figs?
Well, I like in the evening for a dessert, I mean, fig and peanut butter.
But you don't make a tart out of that.
No.
But just personally.
Yeah.
But for your tarts.
I use either custard or figs, mm-hmm, or blackberries.
Blackberries. But will you put any of your blueberry fig preserves into it?
I'll do some of them. It all depends what I go in my pantry with.
Mm-hmm. And when you bring the tarts to the nursing homes, is there a favorite flavor?
They just love every one of them.
Well, on Sunday you're going to be demonstrating how to make these. What are you going to be bringing there?
Well,
how are you going to start
the facilities? Not that I want to be oddball, but the oven is not compatible with a lot of baking. And I have a professional stove and, mm-hmm, oven, et cetera, mm-hmm, so I'll bake them at home. Then I bring the dough, and I show them how to roll it and how to fill it. Because in today's technology, you have some stuff which you can put the dough, and it automatically folds over and seals it. And you don't have to go with a, mm-hmm, fork as usual, you know.
Crimping the edges.
Mm-hmm. And then I use parchment paper so it doesn't stick to the baking pan, and I can put 2 big pans in my oven at once. Over there, I can put 3 or 4 tarts. So I'll show them how to roll it out, how to do it, make 4 or 5 darts, stick it in the oven, say, "Hala, boo-boo, here they are," and come out with a couple of 100 pieces of tarts for them to taste.
Magic, right? The dividing of the tarts, the magic tarts. Well, now, are you charging for these, or these are just samples? People get to taste them.
Yeah. I belong to I don't know if you ever heard of the organization COFFA.
What does it stand for?
Confédération de Association de Familles Acadiennes.
Oh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Confederation. Mm-hmm. There's a similar organization in Canada, which is Federation, where we started the Mason-Dixon, so with the Confederation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the treasurer, so we pay the expenses. The Confederation, CAFA, pays the expenses for the tarts and for the jambalaya and all of that, so that everything that is given is not an expense to the Acadians.
That's very generous. Very generous of you all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What other kinds of things does your confederation do? Many people in our audience may not have heard of it.
Well, one of the foremost projects right now, every year we give a scholarship to a young person for a summer semester of French immersion at St. Anne University in Nova Scotia. And this year is Mr. Louis Perrette's daughter. And she's over there right now, and she's having a blast.
You must make that person very happy. All of us know what a great experience that is at St. Anne's and how much French you learn over there.
That's right.
That's a wonderful, wonderful experience, and what a wonderful thing you all do for them.
Yeah.
So do you have regular meetings? Is this something?
We have annual meetings, mm-hmm. but the what we call the fire in the belly of the old people that started this organization in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
they're just about out, and we mm-hmm. cannot. We have a hard time recruiting new mm-hmm. new blood.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the families, at one time we had 42 Acadian families, Broussards, Hébert, Strahans, and now we're down to a nucleus of about 12.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to recruit more, but
yeah.
unless we can get the Congrès Mondial here to get another, but...
infusion of
Ray and Brendan
excitement.
And I were up there when mm-hmm. and we lost a bit, so...
Yeah. Well, and I know there are a lot of young people who are creating other organizations and really doing many of the same things,
right.
And creating their own ways of working with the genealogy and the traditions, and so inspired by organizations like yours.
Well, I've been in geology since the early 90s,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
in fact, I had a gentleman that's coming with me to France in beginning of September, and he wanted to know how much I had, so I looked up, and I hadn't noticed I had 7,700 pages
of genealogy work.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of hobbies, you have a lot of interests, and you find time for those wonderful
I've
tarts.
I've been a busybody all my life.
Were you like that as a child as well?
I have my own gym.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In fact, I was in, just a month ago, I was in Rome, Sicily, Portugal,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I outlasted a lot of younger people.
Well, I think they can tell that from the energy you have just describing what you do. Mr. Lubert Trahan is my guest. He is talking about one of his many interests, tarts, baking tarts, and he will be demonstrating and sharing his tarts this coming Sunday at Vermilionville. The day starts at 10, but your demonstration, I believe, starts at 11:30, and it'll go till around 1 o'clock. So you get an opportunity to find out how to bake these tarts, and you get to taste as well. So he's making over 500 this year, so hopefully everyone will get a taste of that. Now, you did mention that you all help with the ingredients for jambalaya, and so is somebody else going to be demonstrating how to make jambalaya? Is that?
Yes, Mr. William Menard will be demonstrating a jambalaya outdoors, and mm-hmm. you'll be able to get some samples from that as well in the morning hours.
Okay, he's going to be doing that in a big pot, big black pot,
big
outside.
Black pot, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what other cooking demonstrations?
We'll actually also have one of our artisans doing mm-hmm. open hearth cooking in the Broussard kitchen, and she'll mm-hmm. be pairing chicken fricassee. And we'll also be serving that in our restaurant that day, so you will get a taste of the traditional food as well in La Cuisine des Mamans. And then we will have, of course, refreshments available at our pavilion. We love food, so we're going to push food and drinks as much as we can.
Well, I think with just a description of the food that you've given, you're going to have a lot of people beating down the doors to get in. But I know there's so much more going on as well. You talked about other kinds of demonstrations, and there's obviously going to be some music on that day.
Yes, and in the morning hours, we're also going to be celebrating the life of Mr. Richard Guidry. and honoring everything that he did for the Louisiana French heritage and language in our area.
Mm-hmm. Is that going to be a ceremony with a speaker? Is somebody going to give a talk about him?
Yes. Well, it is a posthumous award, mm-hmm. so we are taking a different format with this one. Mm-hmm. Members of his family will be there, and Dr. David Cherami will be leading the ceremony. And it's going to kind of be an open format to where people can come up and talk about how Richard touched their lives rather mm-hmm. than having an interview with the recipient and an interviewer.
Right. And I know so many people are very grateful to him for his research in the language and for preserving and giving new life to words, old words and phrases that had kind of fallen by the wayside. And I think a lot of words describing plants and trees that we have in our community that maybe people don't use those words anymore. Even in French, he discovered some of the old words. And I know that there's a wonderful garden at Vermilionville, the Healer's Garden. And
yes.
because of Richard Guidry, many of the descriptions and the names for those plants survived.
Yes, and we will mm-hmm. have some master gardeners giving tours of the Healer's Garden. So please come by and see that as well.
Mm-hmm. So a great way to honor Richard Guidry and his work as well.
Yes.
He will be honored by Vermilionville for the celebration of the Acadians, which is this Sunday. Now, you mentioned the Broussard House. Just for those people who have never been to Vermilionville, and it's hard to believe there are those, but there are still many people who have not visited yet. Can you tell us about some of those historical houses?
Yes, we have a lot of historical homes, and we have three reproductions based on originals from our region. So mm-hmm. all of the homes that we do have are from this area and indigenous to mm-hmm. our region. And the Broussard home is our oldest home. We just rededicated the house, and they did a lot of work on it structurally. They redid the garden, so it's quite beautiful, and it's mm-hmm. it's large. It's got wonderful new artifacts in it, so it's a great pleasure to come and see. And we'll also have home tours of that house as well by two of our artisans.
And I believe it was built in the late 1700s, so it's quite an old house.
It's our oldest mm-hmm. on the property, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah, and Mr. Traha, you've done so much genealogy. Are you related to any of the families that had these older homes at Vermilionville?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. I like to think that most of the Acadians have
interrelationships,
you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have a chart almost the size of that picture, which is a round chart. My name is in the center, then my parents, and then the grandparents, and it goes out
spokes
to the 1500s. So you can
mm-hmm.
actually
mm-hmm.
see a pictorial view of the difference. Trahan, Vincent, Simon, Hébert, Cormier. That's all mm-hmm. in my family's.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I'm sure that if somebody went to Vermilionville and they walked around in these houses, they would be related to many of the people that built these houses. So that's a really a nice thing to think about as you go to Vermilionville.
A little side quip, when I got married back in 1951, the wife said, she said, so-and-so is related. I said, listen, don't talk about anybody because they're all related. They had a coffee clutch and a mm-hmm. play pokey mm-hmm. or something.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right. It's all family.
She wasn't from around here, so she didn't know that.
She found out soon enough, I'm sure. So you can go and find out more about your family, discover some things maybe you didn't know at the celebration of the Acadians, because there will be some genealogists there. And, of course, Mr. Trahan is going to be there. And in addition to working on his sweet dough pies, if you have any questions about the Trahans, I'm sure he'd be glad to answer those questions as well. So that is Sunday. It's all free. Opens at 10. Anything else people need to know about the day? Something else they can see? I mean, children are certainly invited to come.
Yes, we'll have mm-hmm. crafts and games for kids. We'll have Acadiana flag making, rag dolls, and Tintamarre noise makers. And we will have a Tintamarre parade going through the village starting at 1:30 and going to the performance center, where they'll be greeted by the La Récolte band. And we'll have dance lessons before each band performance as well, so you can learn a little bit more about the moves and practice them before you go all out.
Okay, you mentioned Tintamarre. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes, it started as a tradition in about 1955 to commemorate the 200th anniversary of the expulsion of the Acadians from Nova Scotia. And essentially what it is, it's a parade to make noise and let everybody know that your community is still here and it's still alive. So it just separates the solidarity of the Acadian society.
So get all your family. Let the Broussards and the Hébert and Guidry's, let them all be represented in that parade.
Yes, yeah. It's a fun parade.
So everyone can take part in that parade.
Absolutely. We encourage the kids to come make their own noisemakers. We have some little flags. And yeah, we absolutely encourage the audience to participate in the celebration.
That's right. We're still here.
Yes.
Again, if you'd like more information about any of this, Vermilionville has a great website. They also have a Facebook page, and you can sign on to those and find out more about the day and all of the activities that are taking place beginning at 10 o'clock. Some people may want to wait until they can get those nice hot sweet dough pie tarts that Mr. Trahan is going to be making. My guests again, if you are tuning in, Jolie Johnson from Vermilionville and Mr. Lubert Trahan, who will be demonstrating how to make those tarts, wonderful tarts out of fig and the bouilli. I think you're going to have some of those, and also the blackberry. That will all be on Sunday starting at 11:30 for the tart demonstrations.
Very correct.
All right. So you get a sample and you get to learn how to make it as well. Well, thank you all so much for coming by to let us know more about the celebration of the Acadians. It's a free culture day, so you get in, and especially if you've never been to Vermilionville, this would be a great opportunity to go learn more about the culture, get to see these beautiful homes, and taste some great food.
Well, thank you for inviting us, because last year we had a pouring down rain, and hopefully we have clear weather this year.
I think it will be. I think the rain will come before that. Well, merci beaucoup à vous deux.
Merci
et Monsieur
beaucoup
Trahan.
À vous. Au revoir.